Welcome back to DMnastics, the gym for dungeon masters to work out their minds. I'm one of your hosts, DM Celeste, aka Sea Witch.
And I'm your other host, DM Neil, aka Jote Maniac. And today we are diving back into yet another article because that's what we do.
Fun.
Like sometimes I think it's also when I realize that the list has gotten too long it makes me uncomfortable. And I'm like, we should really talk about one of these. So I can at the very least delete one of them.
Yeah, fair. Articles are always so fun. I mean, it's called clickbait for a reason. It's fun to click through things.
Some of them I actually I'll find them, the Insider Baseball, I'll find them and I'll store them. Then when I'm ready to do one, I'll start to go through them. And some of them I just delete right away. But this one I did not because it was entitled 10 Things You Should Know About Your Character Before Playing.
I already love it. Huge fan of making, you know, working with your players to make interesting backstories and really, you know, delivering on those in your game. So I was excited to see this title.
So I hesitate to go 10 through 1 just because these are big enough that I don't think that for the time constraint we often put on these episodes, it's very untenable. Absolutely not what we're going to do. But what I do want to start with is before we started, there was one that really stuck out to you. So I actually want to start there. So which one was that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So number 2 on this list, which is really interesting. When I saw this question, I was like, oh, man, that's like exactly what I always ask my players during a session 0 or, you know, whenever we're making new characters. And the question is, what would make them stop adventuring? So when we're talking about, you know, character creation and what you should know about your character, what is the end point? What would make them stop adventuring? What is that goal they need to achieve? Or what is it about their life that would have to change? And keeping that in mind, I find like is a really great way to explore the motivation of why you are adventuring and what it means to you. So I was really thrilled to see that question on here because that's one I've asked and kind of, you know, pontificated about the virtues of this question for years now. So that was really cool to see on here.
I feel bad because I've not really asked that question ever before, but then immediately see the usefulness of it because one of the big things I think is it gives you both a line that you either know not to cross or a line that is available to cross when you need to. If a player doesn't feel comfortable with their character anymore, is interested in something else, or the need to, like they're going to move, they're just not going to be at your table for some reason, they're like, that's there. But then, like, while actively playing, know that that's probably not somewhere you should go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what's also nice about these questions is this in particular, and a lot of these motivation questions, I'm a big fan of, you do it when you start a new campaign. You know, your session 0 takes some time to figure out these backstory questions, what your character is all about. But also, like, 10 sessions in, 20 sessions in, make sure to ask these questions again, because usually over the course of an adventure, characters change, personalities shift, their experiences change them. So that question of what would make them stop adventuring is one of those that is very likely to change depending on what they have experienced over the course of the adventure so far.
Yeah. So good. Well, or even the idea to not have asked it until you're farther into the adventure. Because, some of these questions might not get good answers originally just because the person doesn't actually know.
Yeah.
Because, like, because I know for me sometimes, especially if it's like a stream game, and we'll just be frank, and I haven't done anything prior, I'll just be like, what level was it again? 5? Okay, D&D Beyond. Random. Yep. Cool, I'm playing this person.
For sure.
So then you want to ask me what would make me stop adventuring? I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's like level 1. You're like, what would make me stop adventuring? I don't know, getting a business or something? You know, opening my own bakery? And then, you know, you've got a few levels. You've fought horrible monsters, averted apocalyptic, you know, battles. Do you really still think about that bakery? And that could be an awesome thing that, yes, you still do. Yeah. Through it all, you still, that's what your heart, you know. That's what keeps you grounded. Or otherwise, it's like, oh, man, maybe not. Maybe I have bigger things on my mind now that I know what's out there.
Which is really interesting because that ties back to another one. What is their ultimate aspiration?
And, like,
maybe it is that bakery. And I think of Lord of the Rings and having the salt from the Shire. And like you said, you fought Shelob. You're like literally going through Mordor and you've got like a little box of salt. And you're like, but I have a piece of home.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a great question. And that kind of ties in. That's almost the same as a few of these are really secretly about that. But yeah, the other one, what drives them? Which I think is the piggyback on that question. So it's like, what are your motivations? What are your everyday motivations? And then what is that ultimate goal? I just think that's really good advice for making player characters interesting and also NPCs. I always recommend that people figure out the motivation of the character. This is something you hear a lot in like acting classes when you're trying to get into the mindset of playing a character. Think about their motivation. If you're playing to that motivation, maybe it's trying to get this person to do something, or maybe it's saving money for a summer home, or whatever that goal is. It's something really actionable that helps define your character's actions in moment to moment.
Now, I also think about, because I've been listening to some PBTA, Powered by the Apocalypse, and especially masks. First off, if you, the DM listening now, go prepare yourself. You don't roll in that scenario as the person running the game, and it will be very hard for you. It remains very difficult for me. So then that's why you end up asking a lot more questions, because you're initiating roles, but you're not doing any on your own. And so one of the things that happens is when they come across a battle, one of the questions they ask are, is the team in alignment in their goal? And then you literally in those moments, you're asking what the goal is for everyone and then giving an additional resource if everyone is the same.
Yeah.
So, which that sounds awesome. And like, it's really interesting because like thinking about asking that in D&D,
right,
maybe giving inspiration. Okay, never mind.
It's cool. There's something there. I mean, I'm a huge believer in play as many different games as possible because mechanics in every game will help you in every other game, regardless of the system.
Yes.
It's all good stuff. Play lots of games.
And I will say, if Celeste and I don't follow the outline, we end up just doing random game design. So, to go back to these questions, one of the other two that are like intrinsically tied to each other are, what lines wouldn't they cross and what lines would they cross? And that's very important because that makes me think of Batman, and Batman doesn't kill. But then you see Batman with like every group imaginable in the DC universe, but Batman doesn't kill.
Yeah. And I mean, that question also ties into number 10 on this, which is, how is their morality defined? Which is a whole very big, complicated question to ask. I wouldn't recommend actually forcing your player characters to answer this question, but it is good to think about. You know, and that is, you know, what lines you would and wouldn't cross ties in quite a bit with your morals. If you are using the alignment system with alignment, it's like, okay, well, will I do this because it's the law, regardless of who made the law? Or do I question every law? Or do I have my own code that I follow? Is it all flexible? Does it not matter?
Yeah.
We just want to light it all on fire.
And this is certainly something I've said before, and it warrants saying again, but you go back to the analogy that you had where your big aspiration was making your bakery successful, and then you leveled up a few times, you fought terrible nightmarish monsters, you stopped apocalyptic wars, and those things that you'll need to be asked and to do in terms of your morality are so far removed from the time you were doing your day-to-day job thinking about a bakery. So it's unfair to like hold forever true.
That's why, you know, alignments, I think we all acknowledge in 5th edition now that alignments are maybe not as useful or as helpful as they once were, but it's impossible, I think, to play to a stringent alignment these days, unless it's something you are actively trying to do. Like, I've been writing this blog post over on Ghostfire Gaming about running evil campaigns, and that's like a whole other different bag of worms, but...
Yeah.
But it's interesting. Yeah.
Well, I also think like it works if your character is truly a character.
Yeah.
In that if there's like, because you remove nuance to obtain that, And that can be fine. It certainly can. But like, that's the only way to do it is like, yeah. Hold to these rules in almost. Like,
when you all agree and you all buckle up and you're all enthusiastic mm-hmm. about going on this journey, that's yes. the only time really hard and fast alignments work.
Okay. There's another one that I really enjoy.
Ooh.
What do they fear most? What is their worst nightmare?
Yeah, this is great because I feel like at every single point we've all designed a dungeon or an encounter where we have our players' nightmares come to life. Mm-hmm. I think we've all done that. I think everyone in the history of D&D has done that at some point. So getting it out there and getting that question answered right away is great. And yeah. then this is another one that will probably change as you fight, you know, the eldritch horrors and subterranean monsters and demons from the abyss. You're probably going to pick up some new fears, too, as you go along.
I'm over these other ones, but I'm real concerned about these brand new ones that we just imagined. Yeah,
listen.
So yeah. the other thing I think with that is also like... Does that tie back to why they'll stop adventuring? Yes, just in the idea yeah. that, like, you know, lines, veils, stoplight, whatever version of your safety tools that you have, certainly, like, make sure how this is being asked and in turn how this is being yes. answered.
Yeah. Make sure it's a character fear versus a player fear, because you never want to put player fears into a game. You want all your players to always feel safe and, you know, be having fun. But your characters should feel terrified.
Yes.
And there is absolutely a line there to talk about when you're talking about this question.
Yeah.
Also going to say, number one, what is their fatal flaw? Mm. I think that's a cool question. It's I think this is hard for new players to wrap their head around, but people who have studied literature or done a lot of reading or whatever, comic books, when you can identify what it is about these characters that just sets them up to fail time and time again, when you can identify that and play strongly into it, I think that can be a really satisfying player experience.
Yes, and I forgot to mention up at the front, but we are looking at this article on The Gamer, and it was written by Paul DeSalvo, who I've
Thanks, Paul.
Definitely read some of his work before.
Love your work, Paul.
Yes, but I agree. The fatal flaw is also an interesting one because, like, again, do they know? Do they want? I mean,
yeah.
It just feels almost like a jerk question to ask because I'm like, well, then why did you ask me if you're not going to, like, I mean, it's almost like a Chekhov's flaw. Like,
right.
Are you just going to use that against me? Like, I don't know that I want to tell you, DM.
Yeah, I think this might be better served as present this to your characters to think about. You know, they do have on 5e character sheets your bonds, your flaws, mm-hmm. Your traits. So having flaws can be really, really fun. And I definitely encourage you all to make characters who are flawed, because making characters who are perfect is that's no fun. Real people aren't perfect. Real relatable characters that fail and succeed, and they're not perfect.
No, like I said, no. like I said, getting rid of that that nuance can make. I mean, definitely puts it in Comic Sans the word character rather than mm-hmm. it being something. That feels more relatable. So there's one that the one that feels weird is number three.
Yes.
So how do they view violence? I just feel like that'll just it feels weird to ask, I guess, because like
yeah, I think this is butting into one of the biggest complaints I think people have about Dungeons and Dragons is that it is a game that is inherently designed to fight things.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that is the cornerstone of the game. You really cannot be a pacifist walking around playing D&D 5th edition. If you are, then you're probably verging on another game mm-hmm. at that point. I've tried to play pacifist characters. I've had players try to play pacifist characters, and it just inevitably doesn't work in the construct of the game.
Yeah, because at that point, you would almost need to play a pacifist party.
Yes.
And at that point... are you not better served by another game?
Yeah.
Because I think I can think of builds and ideas and classes of buffing, but all I'm doing is making you kill them better.
Yeah. Be able to fight, which isn't passive. Like standing by while your friends fight uh-huh. other people isn't really pacifism.
Not so much.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like this question might just inspired trouble. Because if you do have people sitting there going, oh, yeah, this is a bad idea, then they feel bad about when they have to fight, which is a lot in this game. So,
yes.
Yeah. I don't know if I would recommend this as a general question.
No, I would. Yeah, I would steer clear as well. But yeah. The one I definitely would ask, and it is the one that made me think of asking it much later, is what are their regrets?
Mm, yeah.
And I would even say that's a pretty solid player and character question.
Oh, yeah.
To like, if you have, I mean, structuring things in arcs doesn't happen quite as often at home tables. Certainly in the pod realm, it does. Mm-hmm. But having that debrief at the end of an arc or what you think is an arc at your table and asking what are their regrets, both player and character.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's a super useful tool for learning, I mean, for next game, and also just like how the character is growing and changing.
Definitely. Okay. And in hindsight, we totally lied because we definitely tackled
all of
pretty
them.
Much every question.
Well, some of them were secretly the same question.
Yeah, we just didn't. I think it's just we didn't want to go in order. But
yeah. We're chaos. We're agents of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of alignment, chaotic good.
So, that also means, okay, no, this is the perfect thing because we do have to lift some mental weights right now.
Lifting weights is what I do. Look at me. Lift these weights.
What is one question not on this list that you think should go on this list?
What, does your character have any family? And if so, where do they live? Is one I like to ask. Because that makes people think about the world and where they grew up and where they might have ties to. That's one of my favorite questions to ask in Session Zero, just to make characters feel like they actually are part of your campaign setting.
Mm-hmm. And so then my kind of go-to is asking in a very similar fashion, which should surprise none of our listeners, yeah, that Celeste and I are the same person. We've never been seen at the same time. But the idea of, do you have a mentor? And then mm-hmm. follow subsequent questions to that, or even who was your mentor?
Yeah.
And then the subsequent questions, because, you know, most 5e characters have a background.
Yeah.
Short of the hermit, they probably learned that background from someone else. They also have a class. So
They had to get that, those instincts from somewhere.
Mm-hmm. So then that is my go-to.
Yeah.
But if you like this, if you are chaotic good, go find every podcatcher you can and Apple Podcasts.
Randomly rate and review them.
Yes.
That is true chaotic good.
Oh my gosh. Go to another podcast and rate us
on
with a 5-star review.
It'll be very confusing, very chaotic.
But good.
But
chaotic,
good.
But good. And of course, if you want to get a hold of us with your own chaos, you can always email us at dmnastics@gmail.com. And of course, for Twitter, @dmnastics for the pod, @jokemaniac for me, and @cconowich for Celeste. And for everything else on the network, blockpartypodcastnetwork.com.
A huge thank you to the bards over on Bombarded for our intro and outro music. You can find out more about Bombarded at bombardedcast.com.
And there's no need to work out alone, so check out these amazing lifting partners.
It's the DMnastic Gym, and you're lifting the thing, but sometimes you need help, it's your lifting partner.
So, in true fashion, one of us doesn't actually know what we're going to talk about.
Who are we talking about?
You, but you do know what we're going to talk about, just not that we're going to talk about it.
Oh.
So something is actively happening.
Yes.
While this podcast is releasing.
Yes.
We are both a part of it, but I would love for you to tell me more.
Yeah. So this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, August 14th and 15th, 2021, on the Venture Maidens Twitch channel, we are hosting a 2-day podcasting event called Pod Jam. And basically, we have panels and events running 2 days. And all of these panels are talking about how to get started in podcasting, how to monetize your podcast, how to market your podcast. So if people ever wanted to start your own TTRPG podcast or any other kind of podcast, or if you already have a podcast and you're looking for advice, tips, tricks from professionals on how to upgrade your game, you should definitely check out PodJam. Also, in addition to all of this free content, amazing panels that we have a bunch of speakers like Neil, that are going to be, you know, talking on the channel. We're also raising money for the Trevor Project, which is a very, very awesome organization that deals with LGBTQ mental health amongst teens. So they do a lot of really great life-saving work. So please do join us. If you hear this in time, head on over to twitch.tv/theventuremaidens and catch it live. Otherwise, you can find all of those PodJam videos that are going to be uploaded to the Venture Maidens YouTube channel. And of course, if you like everything that's happening, definitely follow Penwich Studio, which is the network behind all of this great fun, this big event. And I'm sure you will hear about more events like this coming down the pipeline from Penwich Studio. So we'd love if you checked it out. PodJam!
Definitely. I'm bummed. I get kind of bummed when I watch the other panels come up. And I'm like, oh, that'd be awesome to be on that panel. Oh, that'd be awesome to be on that panel. And the funniest thing I think about ours, the one, are you on this
one
too?
Yes, yeah. I'm moderating that one.
So I think the funniest thing about me being on this one is that I'm really not going to wear my podcaster hat.
Yeah.
I'm going to wear the fact that I have an MBA hat and
talk in
that vein because there are a lot of things that I know to do that I don't do because I just have a ridiculous job. It takes all my time.
So that's monetizing your podcast is the panel that Neil is talking about. And I will also be on.
I have so many stinking ideas.
I think that's going to be probably the most popular panel because that's my number one question I get from people. Like, how do I actually make this viable? How do you take this fun podcast you do that? Oh boy, it's a lot of work and like recoup your time and people, money.
I think I'm very interested because there's definitely a lot of advice I have that I think people aren't going to be ready for.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff you do that feels counterintuitive.
Yes.
But I won't share that here because you should go check it out.
Go check it out. PodJam. Type it into Google. I'm sure you'll find it wherever you are.
You will. But with that, we'll turn out the lights and head out of the gym.
Yes. Before we go, I want to implore you, the listener, to join the forums, the Discord, Twitter, and anywhere else you can find us and take part in these challenges, exercises, and other amazing conversations being had.
And the way to do that is to head over to dungeonmastersblog.freeforums.net and try some DMnastics. So your players don't ask, do you even live?